Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. My guest today is Adobia Folia. Adobia is an entrepreneurial-minded leader with over 10 years of experience in project management, data analysis, business process improvements, and corporate strategies. She is a firm believer in building strong and meaningful relationships to grow and develop in your career or business. She is originally from Ghana and relocated to Canada 5 years ago to complete her MBA at the UBC Saunders School of Business. After completing her MBA, focused on strategic management and entrepreneurship, she has developed her career in data analysis and project management in retail. She is currently a program manager at Lululemon Athletica head office in Vancouver. Earlier this year, Adobia launched Start, Grow, Pivot, an online platform to provide new immigrants to Canada with career and startup advice through digital content, webinars, and one-on-one coaching. Adobia volunteers with other career and mentorship organizations. She is a UBC alumni career mentor and the social media and communications chair at the Women in Leadership Foundation, Vancouver chapter. She enjoys eating out with friends, traveling, cooking, and Afrobeat dance when she can carve out some spare time. She lives in Vancouver with her husband and 3-year-old daughter. All right. Hello, Adobia. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. I'm really honored.
Oh, you know, I'm so happy that you're here today and I have this opportunity to connect with you. I'm so excited for this conversation on mentorship and women in leadership. But before we go there, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your current role and what you do?
Thanks for asking. It was very interesting that you reached out to me because one of my goals at the beginning of this year was to be a guest on a podcast. Awesome. I just threw it in there as a goal for 2020, and with how 2020 had gone, this is really great to be able awesome. To, you know, check that goal off my list.
Yeah.
So for me, I am an MBA, I am a mother, I am a connector, I am a foodie, and I really enjoy mentorship and meeting with different women and sort of helping them propel their career. So currently I work full-time as a program manager at a retail organization. And then earlier this year, I founded Start, Grow, Pivot as an organization to bring immigrants like me to Canada and give them career advice and new business advice. Because when I came, I realized that there's a lot of roadblocks and a lot of sort of perceived roadblocks as well for new immigrants who come to Canada. And also in general, as a woman in my career, I started in finance and then I went into mining. So I've worked in a lot of male-dominated industries. And so I've always been passionate about people who tend to be sort of underrepresented or on the outsiders or in the minority and helping them grow from the lessons that I have learned in my own career.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So tell me, what is mentoring and how does it benefit? How is that beneficial?
So mentorship is really when someone takes another person either under their wing or in partnership. And typically a mentor doesn't necessarily have to be senior to you, but it's someone who has a vested interest in developing you as a person, either in your personal life and also in your career. And so a mentor would typically sort of walk in lockstep with you and touch base with you on how you're doing overall and advise you on how to sort of navigate your career or navigate your personal life. And it's extremely beneficial because the person doesn't have sort of want to see any particular like financial gain out of it. It's more that they're doing it out of benevolence. There's some mentorship that happen organically where you reach out to someone to share their story, and then you form sort of a mentorship relationship. And then there are official mentorship programs that are out there, like the Women in Leadership Program, which I'm a part of. They have an actual mentorship program, and a number of companies also have official mentorship programs. But I've always seen in my career that the organic mentorship is what usually are most successful.
Okay, awesome. Good to know. You know, I'm just wondering, why is having a mentor so important to one's career?
Yeah, I would say that you don't sort of know what you don't know. And one of the things that a mentor can do is to see some of the blind spots that you have in your life. Like sometimes you get stuck in your career and you've tried everything, and a mentor can sort of talk back with you and ask you the important questions that you may not be able to see yourself. Oftentimes people will say, how come this person got the promotion and I didn't get this promotion? I worked just as hard. And a mentor would ask you those difficult questions that you don't necessarily want to ask yourself or face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or a mentor will sort of show you what they were able to do and how you can adjust it to your own personal journey. And I think a lot of people are just on the up and up and driven, and it's important to learn in an industry and learn from someone who's maybe navigated the same mm-hmm. road that you're navigating now. So I think a mentor is very important in that way.
And I guess a mentor too will be real with you and give you some
yes.
hard facts
yeah.
that you're not necessarily willing to
exactly.
face, as you shared. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Definitely.
Great. That's awesome. I think I'm going to be looking for a leader, a mentor.
Oh, definitely. I have had mentors throughout my career, and I don't think I would be where I am today without the mentorship I've had.
And how did you get your mentor?
So I'm naturally an extrovert, and so I reach out to people and I ask questions. So I know that it's easier said than done for some people. When I first started in an investment bank. I was a sales marketing assistant. There was someone who was working in corporate finance that I just wanted to understand what she does. So I just reached out to her and I'm like, I really want to know what you're doing. Like, I see the work that you're doing and it seems like work that is interesting to me. Can you take some time and meet with me? And then we grew and like a natural mentorship that way. So mm-hmm. I definitely always look a few steps ahead and wonder, what would I like to be doing? Like, most of the time in an entry-level role, you're doing sort of very menial tasks mm-hmm. and you have to think to yourself, okay, in 2 years from now, when I'm done with these menial tasks and done with not really doing things that are as valuable, what exactly do I want to be doing? Like, who around me is living and doing the things that I really want to get into? And I think you have to start to look out. And sometimes it can be someone might even be the same age or younger. I do believe that there's the mentorship relationship benefits both ways. Mm-hmm. So I think people need to be on the lookout for people who are doing something that lights them up. And then it gives you new ideas on career paths that you probably didn't even think about in the first place.
Awesome. That's good to know. Tell me something, though. Is there a limit that you put on a time frame on how long someone mentors you for? Is that something that is arranged between you and a person, or is it just like ongoing? How does that work?
So it's ongoing for me. And also, I reach out to certain mentors for certain aspects as well. So I have a mentor who's extremely gifted at conflict management. So she I've known her since in 2009, over 10 years ago. So she's extremely gifted with words and conflict management. So she probably mentored me more closely when we were in the same organization. And now I'm in Canada and I'm in a different organization. But if it's a certain thing that I know that she is the perfect person to call, I'll reach out to her. And I have other people that I mentor who also reach out to me when I say, I know that you can help me tackle this. So I think it can be maybe 3 years since you get in touch with your mentor. It can be once a month, but depending on sort of where you are in your life and what industry you're in and how they can help,
mm-hmm.
you identify like what strengths this person or how this person really helped me. Because I think you can find multiple mentors at different aspects of your career,
sure.
and they can help you in different things.
Areas. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Great. So now we see that there's a lot of women going into leadership roles, which is really, really great. And you
mm-hmm.
mentioned women in leadership. Tell me, what does women's leadership mean?
So one of the things that is interesting to note is that women make up more of the population, but they make up less of leadership. And so that is is an interesting fact, because when other women or young women and girls are growing up, because they have been sort of seen images of just male dominating leaders or male presidents or male CEOs, and sort of there becomes this notion, even for all the way from kindergarten, that the man is supposed to lead or the man is not supposed to cry, and a number of different sort of ideas that we put in girls' heads. And that, I think, when a woman sees a leader, like for me, when I see Michelle Obama or I see certain leaders, it just does something to you. It's like it lights a fire. You're like, if this person can do this, I can do this. And it kind of breaks that narrative that girls are not leaders, even though girls sort of outperform. In younger education, you see girls outperforming, and in the leadership role, girls are known as bossy, whereas men are not taken as seriously when they're younger. And then somewhere along the way, we're just so underrepresented at the leadership space. So you have more than 35% of Canadian women with university degrees compared to men, but you only have Canadian women making less than 10% of the leadership roles.
Oh, is that right? Wow. We need to work on that.
We only have about 20% of women in board member roles in Canada's top 500 companies. And so there's something missing along the way, because there's a lot of women leadership and girls leadership in the schools and kindergarten. And then somehow when we rise up, you just see the numbers start to shrink and shrink.
Is that because, I wonder, does that have anything to do with women being the homemakers and having babies and things like that, do you think?
No, because there have been a lot of research that has shown that even a woman with the same amount of years, because on average, a woman and men have an 8 years work experience, you still see that even with the extended leaves and the mat leaves, you still see women not rising as much as men do, because there is the reality that some women, when you're taking that year off or 18 months in Canada, but when you're looking at the US and you compare it to the US, where they don't have those extended leaves and they don't have as much, you still have less women represented, even with women who are childless, you still have that. You still don't see that representation in leadership. So there's a lot of studies that have been done to sort of dispute that fact, because they compare apples to apples. They're comparing both women who are in the career and not necessarily comparing women who are not in the career when they do those numbers.
Okay, good to know. Wow, awesome. So you've talked about the percentage of women in leadership roles. You know, returning to work now. So we got mothers. Let's talk about women who have left for extended periods of time, left the workforce for an extended period of time for whatever reason. Maybe they had to take care of an elderly parent, or they had children, or they just wanted to take a break. What sort of challenges does a person face when they are re-entering the workforce?
Yeah, there's different challenges. So for me in particular, I came here, I did my MBA, and most of my classmates went on to find jobs, but I got pregnant during my MBA, so I took a year off to take care of my daughter.
Right.
And one of the things I noticed was you're putting yourself 100% into caring for the child, but and you're missing out on applying sort of the lessons that you learn in school right immediately into a role. And if you are in a role, and for some of my friends, and you take a year off, there's someone who's coming in and doing the role. And in a year, so many things can change as well. You can have reorgs in a year. Like, so many different organizations go through restructuring, and certain things that you're working on are maybe made redundant. And so when you're coming in, one of the things that I recommend that people do is staying close. If you are already in an organization, staying close to the organization by meeting for coffee with your coworkers every once in a while. You can say, hey, I'm just going to bring my stroller, we're just going to walk around and let the baby sleep. And I met with a number of women, because I didn't want to just completely take myself out of being top of mind as being someone who was still very much interested in driving my career forward. So I think keeping in touch is one of the things that you can do, like making, and then joining some volunteer organization. So that's how I got in touch with women in leadership. So I was very lucky to have my mom helping me out with my daughter. So I saw a LinkedIn post about, we're looking for women mentors for this mentorship program. This is the time commitment, and this is what you need to do. And immediately I volunteered. And when I first, when everyone would say, I'm so-and-so and I work at this company, and I was just at home, and I used to feel, well, I don't have I don't work right now, but this is the experience that I have. And it helped me sort of rebuild my confidence and see that people are still looking up to me based on the experience that I have. And even though I was out of work for the moment, it didn't disqualify or negate all the experience that I had before.
Oh, wow.
So I think volunteering with organizations that don't require so much time commitment, and then keeping in touch, you know, reading the news, going on LinkedIn every once in a while, liking posts of people, staying in touch with organizations and being top of mind. So people will be like, I understand she's away for a certain number of days, but she's still active mm-hmm. on social media. She's still active in our lives. So and people remember the skills that you had. So when a role may come up, someone can even reach out to you and say, hey, when are you back? Or when is your mat leave over? Or when do you think you'll be fully recovered from this surgery? I just came across this opportunity and I thought about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been still sort of in the game. Like, you've still been keeping in touch. You've still been meeting them for coffee dates. You know,
so people didn't
forget
you.
Stay mm-hmm. top of mind mm-hmm. for people.
Yeah, awesome. That's good to know. That makes a lot of sense too, right? So
you're
not missing out the trends. You're keeping current and knowing what's going on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, how would you suggest a person prepare themselves to return to work when they're ready?
Yeah, so I believe in the case where it's your old role, definitely reaching out months in advance. The employers would like to know, are you still planning on coming back? And you can say, I would like to structure like a gradual entry. I've seen women who say that I either want to come back for a part-time period or mm-hmm. I want to shadow this person who has been doing my role for like a month, and I would come into the office once a day and things like that. So you stagger it mm-hmm. because you will be in for a shock when you enter the workforce, which was my case because I didn't have a job prior. So I had 2 days of crossover time with the person's role that I was taking, because I actually came in to take a mat leave cover and I was just in for a complete sort of shock because I had been away from the workplace. I didn't really get a chance to sort of work with the person. So lucky for me, I worked in an organization that had an orientation period, and they had a separate orientation for mat leave.
Awesome.
And so there are some of these things you can do, is look out for some of these organizations. If you're now finding a role completely, you want to go on Glassdoor.com. You want to read reviews about the company culture. You want to understand, does this company have sort of a gradual entry program for people coming back from mat leave or coming from extended periods? Do they have something? Could you arrange something with your hiring manager to say, hey, I've been away for X amount of time. I'm going to need a sort of a gradual entry. I'm want to be able to, what can we do or what can we arrange? You can start to ask these kinds of questions. I know people sometimes feel like, oh, I don't want to ask for too much. I don't want people to make concessions for me. But to step in and think that you will be right on top of your game,
it's
very naive.
That's unrealistic.
Your brain is just not right there and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask for something, some gradual entry, mm-hmm. but then you can also start to do work. There are a number of freelance things that you can do. If it's something that you want to just test it out, do I still have the chops? You can sign up on Fiverr or Upwork and any of these organizations, TaskRabbit. There's so many freelance websites out there where you can say,
TaskRabbit, Upwork, say those again.
Yeah, so Fiverr and Upwork, TaskRabbit, 99 Designs. There's so many freelance organizations that are out there.
Okay.
That you can, or you can also post on LinkedIn to say, hey, I have this skill set, and anybody who needs help, I can volunteer 30% of my time. I can do work 3 hours a week, and actually start to get into the work before you start.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, also, I guess the importance of gradual entry and staggering it is to make sure you don't overwhelm yourself. And you take things on slowly, because there could be so many changes within that organization from when you were working in that position or when you were in work, that you need time to absorb that and just be able to deal with that and cope with those things.
Definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense. That really makes sense. All right. So, you know, growing your professional network, we're women in leadership. We're moving. I've just recently started my podcast. So I'm going to bring that home a little bit, you know.
Okay.
When I'm looking for guests to speak on my podcast, I mean, I know, for example, I connected with you on Instagram. How can you tell me how and where I can connect with other women? Because I'm almost thinking, well, I don't know where else to go.
Oh, there's so many women's organizations that I started to reach out to once I launched my business, because I understand the power of network and belonging to a group and belonging to a community. So I don't know if you belong to any of these kinds of communities like Lean In or Women in Leadership or Canadian Women Foundation. There's Women in YVR, Women in Business. So there's so many organizations that are exist, and as soon as you join in, you join in genuinely because it's an interest for you, right. Or you join in genuinely to say, or you introduce yourself right away to say, I have this podcast, I'm a part of this community, I want to learn from you and grow with you, and I want to invite anyone who's interested in sharing their learnings. And once you're a part of the community, you'll find people just, you know, people will be looking for you to join your podcast. Oh, wow. That's the ideal situation, really, right? Nice. You want to sort of be in the community, be engaged in the community, and every once in a while you share your podcast, you know, not bombarding people, but just share your podcast, and you'll find people reaching out to you saying, hey Kathleen, I saw your post on your podcast episode, or I saw your Instagram post, or I saw your LinkedIn post, just sharing little snippets from your podcast, and you're going to find people actually reaching out to you. And because you're a part of the community, you're in their space, you're a top of mind. Another important thing is to also have an email list. That's one thing that I've learned people say over and over again, having a newsletter and having people join your newsletter, then you can be sharing your podcast and things like that. Having an email list is very important, and joining organizations is important as well.
Wow, that's great information there. So an email list, is that email list of the contacts from the LinkedIn?
So your email list will, you can do, get one of these email marketing. Some of it is free, like MailerLite is the one that I use. And there's also MailChimp, Constant Contact. So you'll be sending a monthly email, and you would want people to opt into your email. So if you have a website, or even on your Instagram, one of the things that I noticed on your Instagram is you don't have a link in your bio. So people have to go, and you're giving people work, people have to go and search for you. If you have a link in your bio that says call or listen here to my podcast, or join our newsletter to stay informed and get the latest notifications or get more information about this topic, and then ask people to opt in, to have just a simple opt-in form, because people have to opt in and into to be an email list. You don't want to like email people without them opting in first. So once they opt in, then you can be sending them. And what I find is when people are on your email list, they're more engaged, it's easier to communicate with people who have opted in to follow you.
Sure, definitely.
And you can start by advertising that on your Instagram page or your LinkedIn page, or and in different groups as well. But I find women organizations groups are really amazing. I'm part of one that I just discovered called the Female Founders Collective. I can send you links of so many different women's organizations that I have just happened upon, and they have. There's another one, W North. It's a conference that's also happening. There's so many women's organizations.
Yeah,
in
definitely, Adobe. Yeah, so you're going to have to get connected with you. You know, listening to you and all the information that you've shared and how much I've learned in just these few minutes that we've been speaking, I'm like, no, I've got to talk to Adobe and find out if she could be my mentor. I need you to mentor me, girl.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while, and I love connecting, and that's one of the things I think is my superpower. I just love connecting people, and I just really see that we achieve more together when
I agree. And so one question I have for you is, can you mentor and be mentored at the same time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. I have mentors and I am still mentored. Like, I have days where I call my mentor and she literally spills back at me something that I just said to my mentee. No. And she's like, you know better. You know this. But you're having a moment where you know better, but you still need someone else to just sort of knock that sense into you. So you can definitely have both. I don't think the mentorship, you ever become fully enlightened and know everything. you know, you always have someone that you call who can just sort of put you back on the right track. So I think you can definitely do both.
I'm loving this. I'm so, you know, grateful that I did reach out to you through Instagram. And again, thank you so much for being here today.
I loved it.
Generally learn a lot from you. So I'm going to go back. You know, I'm going to go on my Instagram and put a link on my bio. First thing I've learned from you today. What other network advices can you share with us before we end today?
Yeah, I would say that people should also not always feel when they're reaching out that there's a power dynamic. Remove that in your mind, and it's okay if you don't hear back from people, but always offer, what else can I do to support you? Or even when you're looking for someone's support, a lot of people think that, oh, I'm just now starting in my career, or I'm just now moved to Canada, or I'm just now this, I can't really offer anything. But there's always something that you can offer the person. And so when you reach out to people and you say, hi, I saw your profile and I found it really interesting, and I would love to get 20 minutes with you to chat for coffee, and if there's anything that I can do to support your work, please let me know. That always gets a higher rate of response, because you always know that there's something that you have to offer. And I think a lot of people feel when they're reaching out, they're like, there's a power dynamic and they're powerless in their relationship. And I don't think so.
That's true. That makes sense. Great. Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, WF, thank you so much. Again, I said it already. You've given so much valuable information that I know personally I'm going to be using. And I'm sure some of the ladies that are listening to this podcast today will apply to their lives.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Take care. That was an awesome conversation with Adobia today. I hope you got a takeaway from that. I know I did. I want to end with this quote. A true mentor wants to see you rise to the top and is willing to let you stand on their shoulders to get there. Thank you so much for listening to my show today. And remember, live well daily.